Straight Up with Stassi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stassi Schroeder.
She's the star of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules.
I'm here to talk about pop culture, reality TV, celeb gossip, relationships.
Stassi's new podcast is a hilarious look at the world and everyone in it.
I want to give my opinion on everything.
And she's never one to hold back on any topic.
Because that's what I do best. Judge.
This is Straight Up with Stassi.
Welcome to Straight Up with Stassi. What the fuck was that? That was good, though. I feel like we could karaoke. You know, I'm opposed to karaoke. I have anxiety about it. But I feel like that's something I could be okay with.
I could see you doing something like that. Or like Sean Paul.
Well, yeah.
Or Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee. That's what I was just about to say.
But that's what you do on a Tuesday at 7. That's how you, you know.
That's how you intro this show.
I'm sorry, I've loved that song since 2007.
I'm shocked that I don't know this about you, though.
Really?
Yes, Katie. When you were like, let's play a song, I'm like, all right, let's pick whatever song that you want. And you were like, you said that one. I'm like,
I could have picked Kia, My Neck, My Back.
See, that to me would be more on theme with who you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but
this made me even happier.
But whenever having like a low-key apartment dance party that just impromptu happens, because don't be jealous, but that happens.
It happens every time.
All the time. But that is like my go-to jam.
Really?
Yes.
Why haven't I been there for those impromptu dance parties? Because every time I'm at those impromptu dance parties, it's Disney songs that I'm not aware of, because it's like Muami. What's that new one?
Moana.
Pocahontas, or like a Disney movie that I've never seen before. And I'm like, dude, I'm obsessed with Disneyland. I don't know how I don't know these songs. Or it's country music, and then I'm like, it's before my birth. So then I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna sit this one out.
But you have been there for the T-Pain.
I don't know.
Throwdowns. You have, but you were, I swear you've been there one time, but you were like dancing with the dog. Like you weren't like.
Well, that, I mean, that makes me think that people were twerking, and I felt insecure about the fact that I don't have that ability. And so I'm like, going to stick with what I know best. The dogs.
You know what? I know that in 2007, you were hitting the clubs, the same ones I was. And that was like the song of the summer.
Yeah. Shout out to Ledoux. Shout out to Goa.
Shout out to Area.
Shout out to Area.
Yes.
That's, remember when Lady Gaga was
there? And Privilege.
Oh, I think that was before me.
Hyde.
Well, Ledoux, Hyde. Yes. Ledoux was everyone's favorite, which I don't understand why Ledoux closed.
Well, now there's been like a Ledoux reboot.
But it's not the same.
Oh, you've been?
No, I haven't. Oh. But I'm saying like it will never be the same as what it was. Nothing will ever. If you close and you become something else, it's remodeled. Like, I don't even know if I want to walk in there. Like, it would.
Well, I just feel like I'd go in there. I'd be like, you know, it's like.
There's no
10
fountain.
10 years later, I'm like old now. I can't last a whole night in heels.
Oh, my God. This is really depressing. God.
Yeah.
Those were the days. I remember when, did this ever, I'm sure it did. I'd show up to Ledoux and they were filming the hills like up, like in like the second store story part of it.
Yeah.
And I would see Britney Spears walk in and I'm like, Brit, if in my brain, I didn't actually like go up and meet her or anything, but hey, I'd be like, if you just let me style you, you could so not be the girl with the umbrella shaving her head. Like, just let me. I'm from Louisiana. I feel like I used to be like, if I met her, I know she'd love me because we're both from Louisiana and I could help her.
You could have saved her from herself.
I really could have.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Ledoux was the best.
It was, especially I probably liked it better on like the Monday nights, because it was like the
was
live
it alternative
rock bands. A little bit of a scenester action.
I actually do remember those nights.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they'd have a lot, like they would have the whole same DJ thing, like out front by the fountain, and then in the back they would have.
No, I do remember a Monday, and I feel like this is hard. If I looked back on my Facebook, on my private albums, I would see something like that, because it's ringing a bell in my head.
Like, you were never a Moscow girl.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It was total, like, okay, now the term for it would be like hipster, but back then it was scenester. It's called the scene.
Wait, so a hipster now
is kind of
used
what,
to be called a scenester?
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like that kind of alternative sort of I don't know what the word is.
What a hipster would be.
Yeah, it was called Scenesters. Where that was kind of like the alternative sort of like little group.
You guys like music and rock and roll and like
it was kind of still
you
in
like
that,
black nail polish. Yeah, you know, I mean, I liked black nail polish. I never just had, as long as it looked ladylike.
I never had a lip piercing or an asymmetrical haircut, so I didn't fully commit to that scene okay. look. But the music, like, you know, thank if you God. Listen to like My Chem,
My Chemical like, Romance.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a song right now. Oh my God. Wait, hold on. What's the song okay. when they're in war and he's like, nothing more to say. Wait, what is it? What is what song am I talking
he's
about?
About Black Parade?
I think.
Enjoy the Black Parade.
Wait, I know a lot of My Chemical Romance. You forget that I tried to be half goth.
Did you like The Killers?
Oh, I loved The Killers, but that okay. to me was that sounded like the 80s.
Well, I mean, there was like the sort of there was the post punk and then there was the pop punk.
I'm a little more pop punk.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really like punk at all. But like to me, if you listen to The Killers right now, it sounds like Britney Spears. And I love it.
Well, that's why it was called pop.
Yeah.
Punk. It was a mainstream.
That makes sense.
Sort of punk genre.
Okay. So then fusion? what is what you just asked if I was? You said so you weren't a whatever girl?
Hipster.
No.
A
you
scene
said,
girl.
And then you go, you said a scenester. And then you went, you said something else. You go, you weren't a.
A Moscow girl, because there was
a Moscow girl.
There was a club, in Hollywood called Moscow, and they would have bands of that post-punk, pop-punk, alternative rock genre would perform.
Where was Moscow?
It was at Bordner's, and I can't remember exactly. It was in Hollywood. It was somewhere between Selma and Hollywood. And it was, remember, it was right by Beauty Bar and Velvet Margarita, somewhere like in that kind of vicinity.
So it was like on Hollywood or right off of Hollywood or something like that.
Yeah, it was right around there.
Wow. No, I never knew what Moscow was. So no, I think was it a place that if I walked in, they would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Or they wouldn't have let me in.
No. But you just don't enjoy live bands type, you know. Those kind of venues where it's strictly just like live music and you just want to like sit and listen. No.
Listen,
you did enjoy Justin Bieber though.
Yes, because, but I would have enjoyed Justin Bieber even more if it was more of a visual show. This is the thing. I don't like when people say like, you don't like music. I'm like, of course I like music. Every single human being likes listening to music.
They just like the music that every single human being can tolerate.
Or, I mean, there are things that I like that other people might not like as much, but I don't know bands and I don't know artists specifically, and because I don't like watching bands perform, it doesn't mean I don't like listening to a melody. You know what I mean? It's boring to like watch a band perform because I'm just sitting there listening with nothing to look at. There's no visual. And then I'm bored and I'm like standing and I'm like, yeah, this is great. But like, what?
See, I love that.
No,
I love that.
That's what makes the world go round.
Exactly.
See, my way of music was when we went to the La La Land Hollywood Bowl concerty thing.
There's an orchestra.
There are the dancers. There's the movie playing in the background. There's so much fucking shit to look at. And then I'm like, oh my God, all my senses are, I have wine, I have food. My senses are all overwhelmed that I'm like, this is what life is about.
You just need like overstimulation to keep you involved and interested.
Yes. Like silent movies, not my fave. Definitely not my fave.
And we've already established that you have not watched Amelie, which I cannot believe because...
Oh, no, I've watched Amelie. Oh. I've just, yeah, no.
You just don't, you haven't found any appreciation for
it. I haven't found, no, because I need to sit there and focus and...
I'm to the point where I don't even need to focus. Like, I know exactly what's happening.
And that's great. It's hard to do.
But just visually, aesthetically, it's so beautiful.
I agree
it's
with
so
you.
Stimulating. And the language in itself. Like, I feel like you could not even read the subtitles and you would understand
it. I think it's my fault because I haven't seen it since I was in high school and I only saw it once.
Okay, well, yeah.
And so, like, now that I'm 28, about to be 29, like, I feel like I need to just rewatch it. But it mm-hmm. seems like such a daunting task to watch something that you have to look at the subtitles for, because that means I have to commit 2 hours of my life to not be on my computer, answer a text, nothing.
Well, truthfully, it's not the type of movie that if you don't read everything word for word, you're going to be lost. Like, you will, there. It, I feel like it emotes so much just visually and with the music and just in general that you will kind of be able to just feel it through a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I need to rewatch it.
It's just someone that, Amelie, she just wants to change people's lives, and it's very special and unique and sweet, and you know, there's a love story involved, but yeah,
sounds soups optimistic and positive too.
It is, and it's in freaking Paris.
See, okay, yeah, I should just like bite the bullet and watch it. It sounds like a great airplane movie because I can have my headphones on, I have the subtitles, because honestly, I watch everything in closed captioning anyway. Everything I watch, even reality shows, mm-hmm. the most basic shit, mm-hmm. I love to have the closed captioning on the bottom so that I don't miss anything. You've I know exactly what people are saying.
You've been to my house. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And it drives people crazy. I'm like, I like it.
That's how you fully understand what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes when I can't fully hear it, well, yeah, or there's an accent or something, like I have to, like Game of Thrones.
I was just about to say Game of Thrones. Anyone who tries to watch Game of Thrones without that, I'm like, dude, you're like setting yourself up for failure.
Like, supersonic hearing, and you can fully understand every kind of dialect and accent there possibly could be.
It's way too intense. That's why when people are like, I tried to get into Game of Thrones and I just couldn't, I'm like, you need to go in your bed, get your computer, put headphones on, and
put it in front of your
face. Put it in front of your face and closed captioning so that you have the sound all in your ears with your headphones and you can read it and it's right
and
there.
Pull up on your phone.
Yes.
Like Google, like the whole like little diagram of like mm-hmm. who is who in what house, because there's about, I don't know, a trillion characters in that. And especially because like after like there'll be a whole season that goes by and they won't talk about a certain character, and then the following season all of a sudden
the characters there back again.
You're like, who is this person?
Yeah,
is he, I don't know if he's Targaryen, Lannister, if he's Greyjoy, if he's like, you know, the other fucking whatever they are. Like, I mean, it's hard as hell to follow. So, but don't let that discourage you, because honestly, it is the best.
It makes it more fun. I will say Katie is the best Game of Thrones watcher I've ever met. Mm-hmm. Way better than I am. I do the closed captioning thing, but Katie literally sits there with all of her websites open where she knows exactly where to find the right information, and then pauses it and does it. I like to try, but I like end up on Wikipedia. Like the basic BIM, and no, I'm like, this isn't solving shit. Wikipedia doesn't solve anything.
I'm just committed as fuck
to you. Really are. It's so impressive.
Don't even get me started on the Game of Thrones. Wait. Slot machine.
Oh god,
in Vegas.
Legitimately, okay, y'all, I don't gamble at all. I don't enjoy it. The times that I have, I've never won. I've just threw away money. And I'm like, what the fuck point is this? I would rather go shop in the mall in Las Vegas than sit here and just throw away my money, because at least I have something to show for it. Katie is obsessed with the Game of Thrones slot machine. And she's like, mm-hmm. trust me, you'll love it because it's Game of Thrones.
I know, you hit it on a bad time.
I hit it really.
Oh, yeah, you hit it at a bad time.
I have never once hit anything at a good time.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, like, the seat rumbles, you have the speakers behind your ears. It's a penny slot, so some people think that they can just go in and put, like, you know, a dollar in, but you gotta, like, the thing with slots, you always have to put in, like, a bigger bill, okay?
So how much
money? And then you gotta play max bet. You gotta at least start with a 20. You got to max bet that shit, because then when you hit those bonuses and, you know, Daenerys comes in and she's like, Dracarys. And then the dragons come and they light the columns on fire, and then all of a sudden the wilds, and then all of a sudden it's like ding, 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 and you win like $40. It happens like that, but I don't
understand the joy that you gotta get from it.
You got to finesse it a little bit.
No, but all you're doing is clicking or like pulling something or hitting a button. You're just hitting buttons. So like, I don't understand.
I thought the draw for you with slots would be like the free drinking.
They're weak. You know, maybe
they're free.
You're right. Maybe if I see, this is how I feel, because I've tried to relate to you. The way that you feel about playing the slot machines in Vegas with free drinks is the way that I feel when I just sit on my phone and shop online on my apps. It's a mindless, like, hearting things that I like and, like,
I
all
do
of
the
that.
Same thing, though.
And
it's so I resonate on that level as well. And I also have the same fun playing Candy Crush. I don't know. I just sort of like those, like, sort of mindless sort of things that just I can kind of like zone out and just be there a little bit.
Do you think that's because your brain's always going?
Yeah, actually it's like cathartic for me and like therapeutic for my eyes and like my hands to be focusing on something but letting my like wheels turn for sure.
See,
that's why
like...
I like those like tedious sort of nothing that's why I like folding laundry.
Oh God, I did that all today and I loathed it. It was like, God, I could be fucking doing so many more fun things right now, but instead I'm folding laundry and like organizing my closet and I don't like it.
That's why I like putting together like furniture, like IKEA furniture and all that.
I really wish I was like you.
It's really cathartic for me to have a task that I can, you know, semi have to apply myself to, but I can just sort of be doing, but also be thinking of everything else. So that's the only way I can explain it. I don't know how, like, everyone, like, the things I love to do, most people hate doing.
Yeah. I feel like if I was going to sit at a slot machine, I'd have to take, like, an amount of Adderall that would give me a heart attack.
No, you don't have to focus. So that's
no, but that would, but, like, that's the only way I would enjoy something that, like,
I think
pressing buttons, I'd just be like, this is so fucking boring.
I think you need to, like, hit some bonuses and win and kind of get that like adrenaline, that sort of like fun sucked into it, or
but
not sucked into it, injected into it.
But every type of gambling I've hated. Like, I remember back in the day, Pandora taught me how to play blackjack in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Didn't like that either. Patrick tried to teach me how to bet on horses. Didn't like that either. I don't really win ever. I don't win at any of this stuff. So I'm like, I'm legitimately just throwing my money away in hopes of like having luck. And I don't like that feeling.
You can't go in with that.
So I need to learn how to go in thinking that it's something that's fun.
Or you just don't enjoy it. There's plenty of people that just like, that just, it's not their cup of tea.
Well, I would like to. I mean, that sounds like it would actually save me money if I'm getting free drinks. So instead of buying myself drinks, I'm watching mm-hmm. Game of Thrones slots. So like, it sounds like it would be something.
To me, whether I win or lose, it's, I've entertained myself for a period of time and I've got free drinks. So, you know, I could be getting into worse trouble.
No, it is a really good point, except it keeps you awake until like 5 in the morning.
Sometimes.
Well, if you're in Vegas.
Yeah, well, because that's kind of the allure of the casinos there.
Well, see, the allure of Vegas, to me, the third part of the allure. Okay, so like 1 and 2, I think, is like drinking outside. You can drink wherever you want, all that. And then the second is themes. I like the themes. Like, there are themes everywhere I go. So like, there are things for me to look at and it's like, whoa. And then third is they have the most comfortable beds.
They do. And also,
and you never get to use them.
Also pools. I'm not saying pool parties.
Yeah.
I'm saying the pools.
Pools.
Like, do not take me to a pool party in Vegas.
I know. Yeah, but see,
I'm like a
even
grumpy
when
old lady when that happens. If I can't go and get a little sun bed and have my little area for my things and be able to just, like, step off, walk 2 feet, dunk in the pool to, like, cool off. And then, you know, there's that. If there's, like, loud music and there's too many bodies in the pool where they're definitely peeing, I don't want to.
Everyone's peeing. People are, like, hooking up with each other. Someone's definitely giving like a hand job
that's
underneath the water.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I don't like it.
There's definitely not loose band-aids. I'm talking about like nice, like, you know, still lively. It's still fun, but it's not obnoxious and, you know, just with a bunch of teenagers, basically.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that every pool that I go to nowadays are filled with 19-year-olds who look like copycats of Kylie, and it makes me feel like really inadequate as a woman.
Screw that.
No, legitimately, Katie, I tried on this morning my bathing suits for this year. They're all one piece.
But we are women. They're girls.
And I'm like, what is, like, I know I'm not not hot. So, like, I know I'm being hard on myself as I'm looking in the mirror. I know, like, I'm just being my own worst critic. But it doesn't help that I'm looking constantly at all of these children that are around me and on Daily Mail and on fucking whatever website that I look at or in every magazine. And they're the size of not my thigh, not one of my thighs, one of my calves. And everyone knows I don't have calves. So that's saying something.
Well,
but then they magically have a butt.
But Sassy.
Magically, they're Sassy, don't make an anorexic joke.
But Sassy, they're 22 years old.
I didn't look like that when I was 22 years old. No, I looked just really skinny. I didn't have an ass.
But it did. First of all, let's not try to pretend that that shit's natural. First of all.
So just all of these kids moving to LA.
I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just saying.
All these white chicks have just like random ass giant butts. Like, what the fuck is going on? It's an epidemic.
I'm not saying I haven't had insecurities with my body, but I feel like It's ridiculous for me to compare myself to these young women, which as much as I am still young, I'm not that. Like, I feel like the age I am now, like, I'm holding it down. Like, I feel, like, pretty good. Like, I can do a little Frank's coffee scrub on the back of my legs that makes the, you know, appearance of cellulite. So, you know, trust me. I can't tell you how many times I've like screenshotted like Gigi Hadid and been like, goals. But that, okay, that can be like a driving force, but it's not like a realistic goal.
No, it's not realistic. I'm never going to look like that.
I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying, you know, just remember at one point we were those hot bitches running around the pool that there was probably girls our age that looked at us and been like, oh, really? Like, I'm going home. But okay. Their time is going to come as well. That is the facts of life. But folks. Like your body is meant to change. I don't look like the same I was when I was 22. And when I was 22, I didn't look the same when I was 15. And when I was 15, I sure as hell didn't look like the time I was 5. Like our bodies are designed to grow and change. And like our bodies are not done changing yet. So
you have such a healthy like outlook on this shit, because even when I was that hot 20-year-old running around in a bathing suit, I was still painfully insecure about it, wondering like what I looked like. I don't ever remember a time in my life where I was like, I'm hot as fuck and I am happy to be half naked right now. Never did I ever remember thinking that.
100%. I look back at pictures from, you know, 6 years ago where I by no stretch thought that I was like hot shit, and I thought like my arms were like, I thought I had like a bingo wing, and I thought I had like,
what's a bingo wing?
Like when you're like your arm flaps. You know, like I like my stomach wasn't like, you know, the whole thing. You know, I wouldn't say like I thought I was fat, but like, you know, the same sort of like issues I have with my body the way it is now, I had with it then.
Yes,
and I'm like,
me
sometimes
too.
I look at those pictures, I'm like, can I think I was like out of shape now the way I was back then?
Yes.
Like, can I go back to that? But no, I mean, I'm a fool to think that I could ever, like, I mean, maybe I could. I mean, I'll go to the gym, work out, do what I gotta do to like keep this shit together. I mean, who knows? Maybe I could look better than that. But it's impossible to compare ourselves to biology, to science of just like how things are when you're that age versus now. I mean, our bodies are getting closer to the age where we're gonna like supposed to bear children. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean like, it's just like that is nature. Like our bodies are supposed to change and they will keep changing. So I don't care if like, I mean, I do care just because that's natural.
Of course,
but I mean,
but
it's not like I spend a lot of time getting down on myself, especially in last year, about some weight gain that I had, and it led to like other problems. It was kind of toxic to other areas of my life, and so I had to like reel it back in and be like, you know what, like I have to be happy with my body. I can do whatever I am physically capable of doing to try to change it, but you know, my body is designed to change. And I am getting older. I feel like I keep denying the fact that I'm getting older. And that is sort of the kryptonite.
Do you really feel like you're denying getting older?
No, I mean, I know I'm getting.
I don't feel like you are.
No, I know I'm. I know
and
I'm getting older.
And you're not somebody that's like I would ever say is like. No,
I'm embracing. Like yeah. I don't obsess over it. Like if anything, when I turned 30, I was stoked because I was just like 30 is sexy as fuck. Like, you know, you're a woman. People, you know, take you more seriously. I feel like I feel more comfortable in my skin, and you know, I embrace it more. I you know, you're the womanhood. And everything that comes with it, but you know, I'm still like I 100% have insecurities, and it's up to me to handle those in a way that keeps me healthy in a healthy sort of state of body image and the way I perceive myself, because I spent a lot of times crying and not wanting to look at myself in the mirror, not even wanting to have sex too. With my husband because
yes,
I just
I get
felt
that.
Gross. So. You know, it's just, it became up to me to do something about it because, you know, one minute I'm able just to kind of, you know, work out and eat what I want. And the next minute I'm like, oh, I'm wearing what I'm eating now. That's cool.
Okay. But do you realize like how I'm looking at you and I'm like, we're sitting here in my room and I'm like, we sound fucking crazy.
No, we don't, because this is how every woman feels.
But meaning... we could have it so like I feel like we could have it so much harder, and
no we can, and what, like as every
even the most the skinniest most stunning girl feels this way. No one, I don't think I've ever met someone that just feels like, yeah, I'm hot as shit and I can just walk around naked and not give a I mean, okay, maybe I've met a couple, but like it
I mean, everyone's gonna have their own sort of issues with their body. Everyone's going to nitpick and everyone's going to be critical of themselves. I'm for sure. And I'm in no way saying like it could be like, I mean, it could be worse than how, like my body is my body and that's, it's going to do its thing regardless. I mean, I can, you know, watch what I eat and go work out, you know, and that's how I can maintain. But my body's going to do what it wants to do. And there's some people who cannot physically gain weight and they have insecurities about that. So I just feel like, you know, it's so common for people just to not be happy with their body and the way it is. And especially, you know, when you're used to looking a certain way or you know, you think that you look a certain way and then all of a sudden you feel like you don't. And we're so much in our head about that. And that's when it, like, it's like this sort of like body dysmorphia thing, you know, that's why I don't put myself on a scale. I refuse to weigh myself.
Oh,
because,
I don't do that either. Whenever I go over to someone's house and I see there's a scale in their bathroom, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You serial killer. Like, what are you doing to yourself?
That means nothing. I mean, if you really want to weigh yourself, weigh your body mass index.
No, weighing yourself doesn't do anything. Look,
no,
if
but
you have to,
if you
want to
weigh anything,
my clothes.
Weigh your body mass index. That's how you find out if you're healthy, if you're too overweight or you're too underweight. But stepping on a scale doesn't say anything, because if you're working out and you're lifting weights, you're going to gain muscle. So you're probably going to, like, the scale is going to be a little heavier. I mean, it's stupid, but I agree with you. I always say, if there's a pair of jeans that I'm trying to fit in them, they're just maybe a little tight, or maybe I can't, like, close that button, what I'll do is, like, every week or every other week, depending, I'll go and try to put those on. And it, like, what a personal victory it is when you can button those jeans and sit down and feel good in them and, like, be able to breathe in them. That is when you know that you're changing your body. And
I totally,
not that you have to, but I'm just saying, for me, you know, it's not about killing yourself, it's about being healthy. And that's my mission in life, is just to figure out the happy medium of enjoying my life. I love food. I love wine and
we
alcohol.
We all love food.
And everything. And so I've never dieted. I just have always worked out to eat.
Yeah.
So I would be able to just eat what I want. I don't mean like I want a cheeseburger every day, meaning like I don't want to have to cut out things.
Reason. Yes, and, of course.
You know, I've always like loved dessert. I've always had such a sweet tooth. So, but I would just, you know, work out consistently. That way I would be able to maintain my weight and, you know, still be able to be happy and enjoy life's greatest pleasures.
See, you're honest about it, because I remember growing up, my second stepmom, shout out to her, she was super skinny and tall, and there was like this juxtaposition between her and my mom. And my mom would always be like, we're here to eat. Like, God made, or whoever made us, or my mom's not even religious, like, you know what I mean, like, whoever put us here, there's a reason that we enjoy eating, so that means we should enjoy it. So
it's,
we're kind
of, one
of
life's greatest
my mom always says, like, I live to eat. And then my stepmom, who was this like Amazonian woman who was very skinny, and she always said, we eat to live. And they would literally say these things to me. And I would go every other day, because my parents were divorced. So I'd go Mondays with my dad, Tuesdays with my mom, Wednesdays with my dad, Thursdays. So I was back and forth every single day. So I would have these two women telling me the opposite all the time. And I'm like, what is it?
That's a fucking mind fuck.
It was such a mind fuck. But when I think about it, I'm like, we actually don't. We might eat to live. Yes, we do.
And both of those are okay.
But there's like, both of them are half right. But it was still like, to have someone say, I just eat to live, I'm like, then you're like, you can't possibly be like that happy of a person if like you don't enjoy anything. Like, it's one of the greatest pleasures that we have.
Some people don't, like, some people enjoy working out and being super active, and they like to, you know, like working out and, you know, marathons and training and all like that. That gives them zest, and that makes their life fuller, and that leaves them satisfied. Whereas some people are like, I like enjoying, you know, the food and the drink in life. I mean, both of them are okay, and as long as someone's not killing themselves one way or the other, that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I just, because we cannot relate to people who are like, well, I just eat to live.
So what I would ask those people, I would say, so if you had the opportunity to eat anything you wanted, not gain a pound and not feel sick, like you could still perform at peak level, would you do it? What would they say? Then their argument doesn't make any sense, and it's not true.
Well, no, maybe not necessarily, because maybe they actually enjoy what they eat.
Like broccoli, like when Kristen tells me that she craves vegetables, and she's like,
"But that's,
oh my god, I'm so starving right now.
Just
like,
because
I want,
you don't
some
understand
broccoli.
That doesn't mean
I just,
that's
I want
not...
some steamed broccoli." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just saying. That's why I just think you just find what works for you and what makes you happy. That's why I personally don't believe in like dieting. I know how to. Like, I know how to moderate my eating. I know how to eat balanced. I know I need vegetables. I know I need certain proteins. I know the good fats. And I know when to have carbs. I like, you know, but I don't structure or kill myself over that. I just am like mindful of sort of like my eating schedule.
Right.
Whereas like, you know what? I kind of went a little heavy on the carbs yesterday. Like, maybe I should have some, you know, some nice rich greens. Maybe some nice solid proteins, like some fish or some chicken, and get some grains in there. Some, you know, some like some superfoods, you know, so it's a nice balance. It really is. And then, you know, when I will try to curb certain cravings. It's not about dieting. It's just about structuring sort of your life so that you can feel like you're satisfying and you're, you know, you're being happy and not killing yourself. You know, if you want ice cream, Halo Top ice cream is
what the fuck is
so
Halo Top?
Good. It's really high in protein, actually.
What is it? Are you joking?
It's this ice cream. It's so good. I got my mom hooked on it. But there's these other ones. There's, you know, Coconut Bliss. There's Arctic Freeze.
Oh my
god, like,
Patrick loves Coconut Bliss.
And that's it's pretty
I don't
good.
Like healthy ice cream.
But no, I will introduce you. If you have the Halo Top birthday cake ice cream.
Well, birthday cake is my favorite flavor.
To die. So, I mean, the whole point is like, and I use this word very loosely, healthy. but it's definitely the healthier choice if you're going to, because it doesn't have like the sort of preservatives they put into ice cream to keep it like soft and creamy, you know. So you have to like, so you leave it out on the counter. Like I leave it out there for like 5 or 10 minutes and it'll soften up and it'll be very creamy and super tasty and super sweet. But it's really high in like proteins. It has some great fibers in there. So it's actually, you know, you're actually getting nutrients that you could possibly use.
Where the fuck do you get this from?
I mean, they have it everywhere. They have it at like Ralph's.
What's it called again?
It's called Halo Top.
Halo Top.
And okay. I like the mint chocolate chip is delish. The lemon cake is really good. Lemon the chocolate cake? Sounds sick. Oh, it tastes
gross.
It tastes
lemon cake ice cream.
It tastes really good. You're going to try it. And then the birthday cake is probably my favorite.
Well, yeah.
It tastes like cake batter. Yeah, ice cream. That's it's so good.
Do you know that this week when I was on my period, didn't I text you this? I did. I texted you and Kristen this in our OK Bianca chat.
You want a cold scone. And I was like,
I did it. Cold stone. Cold I ordered three different flavors. They're still in my refrigerator because I ate half of each one. Dude,
go for it.
Well, I couldn't figure out what I wanted. I was like, birthday cake remix is my favorite.
It is the best.
But then I was like, I think I kind of want chocolate and peanut butter. And then I was looking at all the other flavors and one of them was like the owner's something. And it was like the sweet cream ice cream with like brownie and caramel and like pecans or something. And I was like, what the fuck? That sounds bomb. So I'm like, I got to get all three.
Well, I go between.
I was mortified when the person came up to give it to me. I was mortified because it was just me here by myself in a fucking moo-moo.
You know what? Who cares?
I know.
Girl, feed your soul. Do what you gotta. Like, I'm telling you. I sometimes do the thing where I'm like, well, I want something decadent and chocolatey and I want this. But then I also want like something sort of like fruity, like a sorbet type.
Yeah, you
want
to be able to get all the flavors in.
I need options. That's why the lemon cake and then like the chocolate, you know, it's like, it kind of goes both ways.
Okay, but, fine. I get your lemon cake sitch then.
You know, I'll give you some. You'll enjoy it. But there was actually someone I read. I think it was on BuzzFeed and she did the Halo Top diet, which for 5 days all she ate was ice cream.
Shut the fuck up.
I'll send you happened? The link.
She wasn't eating carbs, so she probably felt great.
No, she was doing fine. I think I can't remember exactly, but ultimately at the end of it, she just got really tired of eating ice cream.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, I could totally do this because it does have like nutrients and vitamins
it's
and
like
protein.
Having a fucking smoothie all day long. It's not, you don't get to chew. There's
no,
nothing.
And I
need
say,
to chew.
As someone who has been on that like milkshake liquid diet, I miss chewing so much. I like wanted just to bite into like a sandwich or like a burger or like take a bite of like anything and chew it. Like it's not fun.
I mean, you had to do
I didn't have a choice.
Smoothie diet because you were in the hospital. So
well,
like
because my mouth was wired shut, yeah, mostly. So
that's for good reason.
But I don't recommend an all liquid diet to anyone because
did anyone like grind up like an actual meal for you? Like,
yeah.
Are you joking?
Oh yeah.
That's gross. I always thought that was just like in the movies. I thought you would just like eat smoothies. Like people actually did grind up something. You had to just fucking put it down your throat with a straw and taste it in your mouth.
No, my mom would. She blended up like black beans and rice and chicken and salsa and cheese.
And you sucked it with a straw?
It was a soup then. It was like a Mexican soup, like a tortilla soup, basically.
Okay.
It's a soup.
Well, when you say it like that, that sounds normal.
I did tell her at one point. I'm like,
that sounds normal when you say that, though.
Well, however, I told her.
A tortilla soup. That sounds.
I told her at one point, I'm like, all I want is In-N-Out. And she's like, I'll blend up for you. I'm like, no.
That. See, that's what I'm imagining. Like blending up a fucking hamburger.
That's where I draw the line.
Or like fucking some chicken enchiladas, which actually would taste like tortilla soup, I guess.
Yeah, no, that kind of stuff. That was easy because it just turned into like a soup and it was delicious.
Blend up a pizza.
No,
that's so gross.
But yeah, no. When she was like, she offered to blend up a burger for me. I'm like, and with what? With what kind of liquid?
With the In-N-Out sauce.
Oh,
I'm gonna throw up.
But for me, it was the burger. Was the biting into it?
Well,
that was like a really, and like, trust me, Thanksgiving was not fun that year.
That's not fun. Sucks ass. What did you do in Thanksgiving?
I had mashed potatoes, gravy, and turkey blended.
You, I'm sorry.
And green bean casserole.
Wait, okay. mashed potatoes, gravy, and green bean casserole. And not turkey. Sorry for you, but did you just say turkey blended?
Yeah.
So you sipped turkey through a straw?
I mean, it was blended.
Did you sip it through a straw?
How else would I have it?
Thought you were going to blend it and maybe like put it over your mashed potatoes like it was fucking baby food or something. You sipped it through. Wait.
I had to.
That was still disgusting.
Well, first of all, when
did
I
did you
eat,
have to have
when
that?
When I eat my Thanksgiving, it's all like I don't. Do you not mix everything together?
Yeah, but not when it's blended like baby food.
I didn't have a choice.
So I would have been like, yeah, I'm not going to have turkey this year.
It tasted just as good. It tasted great.
That's fascinating.
I know it's sad, but
that is fat. Yeah. No, that's fascinating. Like I,
but then at Christmas, my jaw was unhinged. So I had tri-tip steak.
Good for you.
And I could hardly chew it, but it was great.
I feel bad even like comparing like situations. But when I got my chin implant, Sheena Menina brought me 4 Godiva shakes, each of them, I think, 2000 calories a piece. And I didn't know that. And she didn't care to tell me that. So I had 4 Godiva milkshakes in one day. And I thought that would feed me.
I had at least 2 milkshakes a day when my jaw was wired shut.
You're making me feel better then.
Well, no, I had to.
Did you ask your mom to spike
them?
Dude,
do you realize that my leggings didn't fit me? I lost so much weight. I didn't care. I didn't care how much like calories were in a milkshake. At the end of it, I was drinking Ensure just to make sure that I was like actually getting like fats and good things for my body.
I remember. Okay. See, again, I feel bad comparing things to you, but like I because you went through something so devastating. Let me just back, just
it's a really
in case.
Long story, but okay,
well, no, just in case. I feel like most people that listen to my podcast on, they've watched Vanderpump Rules or they've heard you on before. Maybe if they don't know, Katie almost died. She fell through a roof and
a skylight.
And
25 feet
and hit a stairway and all of that and legitimately almost died. And explain all the things that you broke, because there's like a lot of things that you broke.
I mean, the point of how it happened is like, you know,
no, yeah, just
it's moot. But yeah, it was a skylight. It was above a,
she
a
fell
stairwell.
Through a
it was like
skylight.
25 feet. I hit my mouth on a wooden handrail and then I landed on the stairs and I hit the back of my head. I hit basically all of my right ribs and my right like shoulder, almost collarbone area. So I pretty much broke my entire right shoulder to rib situation. And I had a brain injury. It's called a subdural hematoma. It's bleeding of the brain. So it's this like blood clot in the back part of my brain. And then my jaw was broken in 2 places. So I had to be wired shut. And then 2 weeks after, I had to have like an emergency surgery on my jaw. They had to like screw a titanium plate to my lower jaw so it would heal straight. But ultimately, I was wired shut for about a month and a half. And I had lost like 3 of my bottom teeth, which was a blessing in disguise because I had a hole for my straw where I would ingest food. So... yeah, so I was super, super, super fortunate to survive with, at that point, minimal injuries. I mean, scary ones, like brain injuries are no joke, but just to be able to ultimately walk away and heal within a couple of months was pretty extraordinary. But it wasn't easy, but I was so thankful that it wasn't worse and so happy to be alive and was counting my blessings right and left and just was super positive and focused on getting healed.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to take a break here and talk about something. If you've listened to my show, or Breathe Oxygen for that matter, you know that life can be messy and far from perfect. Turns out, same thing goes for your skin. Mederma to the rescue. New Mederma Quick Dry Oil is a brand new formulation on the market, and it helps improve the appearance of skin, scars, and stretch marks. And it's the number one doctor and pharmacist recommended brand. But most importantly, it's quick drying. No more waiting around for greasy oils to absorb. Who has time for that? Besides using it for scars and stretch marks, you can use it to just keep your skin hydrated. It's great to use on skin imperfections, but if you're like me and you're already perfect, JK, you can also use it as part of your daily skincare routine. Mederma Quick Dry Oil features nourishing botanicals and contains no artificial dyes or perfumes, so you don't need to worry about it irritating your skin. Sometimes pretty doesn't have to hurt. Look, you have enough to worry about every day, but don't let your skin be one of them. Check out Mederma today. Look for it in the first aid section. Yes, the first aid section at major retailers.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm obsessed with watches. I have been ever since I was a little girl. It was a thing that me and my dad had together. Every birthday, my dad would buy me a watch. My dad's always been into watches. So because of that, I'm never not wearing one. So when I found out about movement watches, I was really excited because, well, it's really hard to find a nice watch that's not really expensive. You either buy like a shitty cheap one or like a really expensive nice one. Movement watches aren't like that, okay? I'm telling you, they're sleek. They're constructed well. They're made from great materials. Basically, this company was founded because they wanted to make a watch that wouldn't break the bank, okay? So the watches start at just $95. If you were to go to a department store for that same exact watch, you'd have to spend like $400 to $500 because all the department stores are marking up the prices. But when you go to MVMT, that's how it is, movementwatches.com, you can go straight to the source. So there's no marked up, jacked up prices, like nothing like that. And I'm telling you, like, it's a really sleek design. My favorite one that I have, it's a rose gold one that has like a pearl face. It's just, it's really cool. And Patrick actually started stealing my watches. So he's wearing them. Shit you not. And right now they're giving you guys 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/Stassi. So that's 15% off, free shipping, free returns. So if you don't like your watch, you can return it, no questions asked. I know you will like it because, I mean, it's timeless. They're classic. There's nothing trendy about these watches. You'll be able to wear it forever. So go to mvmtwatches.com/Stassi and check it out.
Talking pop culture, reality TV, celebrity gossip, relationships, and more. This is Straight Up with Stassi.
Do you get mad at me when I talk about what I said when I first
no,
heard?
No, because so many people heard so many things about what had happened to me. Because I just started working at Sir, yes, and I barely even met you, Stassi.
I don't think I even remember meeting. Like, I don't think we trained. So Katie and I started working at Sir at the exact same time, what, 7 years ago?
Almost eight
years ago. So this thing happened to her 8 years ago. So we started the same week at Sir, and I was training. And then all of a sudden I know that one, like the girl who was supposed to come in with me didn't show up. And I was like, why didn't she show up? I don't know where I had the fucking balls to ask any questions like that and be a brat. Like, I was new. I don't know where I had like the courage to do shit like that. So it was fucking crazy. I started Sir. Katie started Sir, same week, bitch doesn't show up, and I'm cocky as fuck being like, where's the other new girl? And then someone says, oh my gosh, she fell off a roof. She was model and she fell off a roof on a photo shoot. And because it had been watered down, the whole story had gone through 50 million different people and then came back to me.
Because when I ended up in ICU and my mom flew into LA, and I was next to my bedside, I remembered because I had finished my training at Sir. I'd been working there for like 3 weeks. I'd finished my training. My accident happened like, you know, late Sunday, early Monday morning, whatever. So it's Monday. And I'm supposed to start my first actual shift, non-training, on the floor at Sir that night. So here I am hooked up to morphine. And I'm all like, just like, don't have a care in the world. I'm like, just like living my life in the ICU unit. And my mom like doesn't even know what to do. My family's around me like, oh my God. And I'm just like, hey guys, thanks for coming. Super weird. But that's kind of like why morphine's great, I guess. And it does its job. But I say to my mom, like, mom, you have to call Sir. you have to tell them I can't cut to my shift. Like, I was so concerned, like, about Sir and, like, losing my job, that here I am, like, with, you know, doctors making sure my brain is no longer bleeding, but I'm telling my mom to call Sir. And so my mom, not knowing the whole story, she knew I was on my friend's roof and we were taking pictures. It was not a photo shoot. So, yeah. So when my mom calls Natalie, I mean, this is how awesome the game of telephone works, is that
yes,
she was on the roof taking pictures with her friends, turns into, oh, well, yeah, she's a model. And
no, I feel like such a dick. Granted, whatever. No, everyone thought that. I was 22 or 21. 21. I think I was 20.
You were 20.
I was 20. I was a fucking bitchy little cocksucker. You know, I was an asshole. So I'm like, oh my God, a model off a roof, how stereotypical. And then here we are, best friends that many years later. Like, if you would have told me that, if someone would have told me that as I was sitting there just making fun of a model falling off a roof, which did not happen.
Which was funny,
which
because
was not what happened. Like, that chick that you're just laughing at right now.
I don't
is gonna be your best friend.
I think it's I met you during my training, but I don't remember. But I think you might have been one of the first ones to text me to cover your shift
while you were in the hospital.
No, I was in the hospital. I mean, I was in the hospital for like 3 days, 2.5 days.
Oh
no, this was like in December sometime, but I was definitely like not back in LA. I didn't come back to LA till like after the first. But yeah, you were definitely just, like, one of the first ones. Like, hey, this is Satsy from Sir. Like, are you able to cover my shift? And I'm like, hey, I'm still like not covered. I said something back, but I was like, wait, stop. Because we had people working at Sir with like the strangest names.
Yeah.
And I just remember your name standing out to me being like, Stacy.
God, why would you even be my friend?
Oh, well, I remember like,
why would you be my fucking friend? I sound like a dick.
It took us a minute because you were very like, you know, I got a little bit of like the Stassi like little treatment even when I came back because you didn't know about me. And I was friends with Christina Kelly because I knew her boyfriend from like back in the day. And I remember it was before Tom and I got together, but we were talking about, I was talking to someone about like a relationship or this guy I was seeing, and you chimed in and you're like, wait. So like, and you started giving me advice and you go, wait a minute, like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 24. And you like shrunk up. You're like, oh, okay, never mind. Because you thought
I thought I was older. You looked younger than me.
You and Kristen will always say, like, I looked younger than you. And you thought you were going to, like, impart some wisdom on me.
I'm such a dick.
Which is funny because I've, like, been nothing but, like, you're, like.
I know. What do you call that? Someone who's lived a million lives that just helps me with that type of shit. And I sat here as, like, a 20-year-old being like, let me help you. Oh my gosh, knowing absolutely nothing. That's so embarrassing.
Okay, you know what I am to you?
I don't know. I've been trying to think of it.
I am the Maharishi.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a guru. It's like the ultimate mentor. Guru
Maharishi.
The
only thing I know of is like on Moulin Rouge where he's like the Maharaja. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
I mean.
And the Maharishi.
You're the Maharishi?
And you didn't know.
You are.
You didn't know.
Yeah, because you're my wisdom friend. Because
I feel like the Maharishi is like, it's a, like an unassuming person.
You would never, you are an unassuming person. I don't think anyone would actually ever think of you as a Maharishi unless they know you very well.
Well, first of all, that's like really like. Blowing smoke on my ass, but yeah, but in this case,
like we've talked about how you are, and we talked about this on my last podcast, that you are an old soul.
Yeah,
so you know things in a it's not about knowing things, it's you see things differently.
I just feel like I've been, not like I've been there, done that, but like
I think you see things differently.
Yeah, I see things differently because I felt like I've learned something in this past, you know, in a past life or something. Like, I just, it's one of those, like, I've been here. I know, I just have this sense, and like my intuition is very strong about how to handle a certain situation or how I should go about things, which is helpful.
It's such a weird thing for me to like hear you talk about, because I don't feel like that about anything. I really don't. I've never once felt like I've been here before. I've never once felt like I know when to trust my intuition. I really don't.
But you have, your intuition is there.
But I don't really know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You never get a gut feeling, a gut instinct. Like, no, there's never something that you're I feel really like there's just something inside of me, in my gut, or just something that's screaming at me that like,
if don't I feel do it or yeah, do or it. If I feel, yes, if I feel in danger.
That's your intuition.
But also I feel like I could be way wrong about that, because I feel like I have this opinion about intuition that I'm that I'm doing air quotes with intuition, mm-hmm. is that I feel like because I don't necessarily, I think that because intuition is something that you can't fully define and explain, it mm-hmm. could be a culmination of how you were raised mm-hmm. and what you were exposed to. Or it could be just already how you were born, what's already within you. So, like, because there's no proof of anything, I'm like, well, is my intuition, do I have this gut feeling because of an experience I had when I was a kid? And so it's making me feel like this? So, like, what is it? So I don't trust my gut or my intuition, well, because I think there's so much that goes into it that I don't trust my opinions and thoughts all the time.
Well, that's a problem. I don't want to say a problem, but that is that.
Well, I'm just trying to be realistic.
No. And it's not about being realistic or not. I feel like intuitively and, you know, even instinctually, that is being realistic, because the first thing when something happens that like speaks to me and speaks to any of us is whether you choose or not to listen. Is your intuition and your instinct. Like, there will be something that sort of, there will be a little light or a little switch that turns on that goes, ooh, hello.
Okay, I have a question then to ask you. Okay, I have a question to ask you. So I try and think, like, when you talk to me about intuition, my brain immediately goes to, like, friends. Then it goes to not trusting a stranger or, like, having an experience with a stranger, and then it goes to like boyfriends, and then it goes so all of these things. Let's choose the first one, friends, like a friendship or so, an acquaintance that I get a bad feeling about right away. There's somebody that I meet and I just don't trust, mm-hmm. and it turns out for a while that I was right, that I shouldn't have trusted that person, but then ultimately that person then changes or proves me wrong, or is still the same person that they were, but then it's somebody that then becomes a friend and you accept. I had a gut feeling. I'm just using this as an example. Sorry, Kristen. I love you so much. We both love you. This is the only example I can use right now to like that I think you would understand. My gut told me that when Kristen hooked up with Jax years and years ago. Oh, okay. It's the biggest example I can use. My gut told me, like, I am right. I know it. I feel it. I sense she's lying. I know it. Like, but I guess when I feel like, to me, I think I'm so black and white as a person where it's like, you're either bad or good. That like, I struggle with like the intuition aspect of it, because just because my intuition was like, this person is lying, she did this, she's like, you don't trust it, my gut is telling me not to. She ultimately is still one of my best friends and one of your best friends, and we love her like she's our sister. Like, and so then that I feel like, well, then what was my intuition and gut telling me? And so that's where I get confused about things.
I mean,
does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, 100%. If your intuition is telling you straight off the bat that this is my gut is telling me like, yes, trust that. It doesn't mean that you cannot leave room for human error or benefit of the doubt, but just know that your gut is telling you So it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, pursue that and just have like give someone the benefit of the doubt and just see it through. But just, you know, that's true. It's especially hard when it comes to like friendships and stuff like that, because you want to be able to be compassionate and sensitive towards that person because you care about them.
That's where I get confused with my gut.
But you don't have to, like, you don't have to ignore it just because it's like your friend or someone you love and care about. It's like, it's kind of like finding that sort of middle ground, that like sort of gray area where you can always keep in the back of your mind that, you know, but like you want to give this person a chance.
Yeah.
And if that, and if after that, you're, gut and intuition is still telling you otherwise, then you have your answer. And then it's just kind of a little bit of practice. It's like having your intuition, it's like having a relationship with someone, with your intuition, of trusting it enough but being also able to explore the surrounding areas in a way that you don't ignore it, you don't deny it, but that you are acknowledging it but still leaving room for benefit of the doubt and human error. I think that is just like the most human way possible. I mean, if I just went with everything my gut told everything, I mean, imagine, like, I mean, I know we've had issues where I've just been like, well, I just know, I just feel, and like it, that doesn't suit you, that doesn't work with friendships.
That's why I struggle with it, because in my brain I think it's hard for me to say, okay, my gut's telling me that I think this person is wrong, or I think this person doesn't mean well, or something like that. And maybe I'm just such a basic thinker that like my brain instantly goes to that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, well, then does that mean that person is just bad all around? And so like that's the way that I really struggle with like that. That's why I don't trust.
You tend to be kind of polarized in ways.
Yeah.
So, like, the best thing I feel like is that if you just stopped, if you got more comfortable in that gray area, it's easier for you because you kind of are always, like, you're very, like, you want to have an opinion and very quickly and very strong and stick to it. And, like, I've always said you're super tenacious. And I think that's dope. I love that about you. But when there comes these situations where you do need to, like, kind of look within, you have to be comfortable in that gray area. You have to know what your gut is telling you and trust it, but also, you know, take care and, you know, in preservation of your relationship and yourself and this environment. Because people, like, if you're just like, well, my intuition tells me, people are gonna be like, oh, well, fuck you and your intuition. That's not the point. But I'm just saying, please.
That'd be my new thing.
But fuck you and your intuition. But please, like, and this is something, like, trust me, like, this is something that my mom taught me. Shout out to my mom, Maloney. No,
seriously, shout out to Terry.
She always said, trust your gut.
But that's
trust
because you both gut. Are.
Trust.
I know, you but both you, are just, old soul. But I don't, you both are
but
like.
We don't need, but you don't need to be like that, Sassy, because your intuition is speaking to you. You do hear it. So you got to listen to it and trust it. Trust it more than you trust yourself, honestly, but still seek it out. Still try to pursue the truth. Try to talk to people. Like I said, and like I always instinctually and intuitively like know things, but I still there's a little shred of doubt that lives in my head because I am not a fucking asshole that I'm like, I like to leave room for that.
Yeah,
because you know sometimes I'm wrong, you know, but that's why sometimes people say they have a hard time getting to know me. Because intuitively, like, usually when I know, like, when I meet people for the first time, I get, like, just a vibe off of them. Like, something inside of me, like, my stomach or, like, my, like a, I'll get, like, a signal from, like, the, you know.
Yeah.
The inside that is, like, ooh, maybe not. Or, like, oh, my God, this person's made, you know. And so I would say 80% of the time, I'm not super, like, putting myself out there to people. And even since in high school, people that maybe didn't know me for long or got to know me would always say like, oh my God, I thought you were a bitch. I'm like, well, no, I'm really not. They're like, no, you're like the nicest person ever. I'm like, no, I'm just like, I'm kind of one of those people. It's just like, I will just sort of like not get a reading on people, not like in that like, you know, psychic way get a reading on people, but like I won't, my gut is like, I'm not quite sure. So I kind of like to hang back and observe, and I'll talk and I'll be, you know, but until I don't, you know, until I feel comfortable or I know how to approach a person or whatever, there's just something that's holding me back. Not because I don't trust them or because I think they're bad. There's just something that holds me back. And I just trusted my, I put trust in my intuition a long, long time ago. So it's like on autopilot that when it kicks in, I just follow and I sort of navigate around it and where I need to be, but it's always the thing that guides me.
Right.
So I still leave room, but it is the thing that guides me. So because Stassi, you know, it's there, trust it. Just try it one time.
Sorry, my dogs are being crazy.
Yo. You little shitheads. So,
you know it's there. Just trust it and let it guide you. Just try one time where you don't try to like overanalyze or see black and white. Just listen to what it tells you, and then just still approach things in a way that's, you know, open-minded but still aware deep down.
Well, you know, it makes me feel better when I hear you say this shit, because every time that you've talked about just trusting your gut and your intuition, I'm like, fuck that. That means that people are either bad or good. And then like either this situation's bad or good. And like, I just don't feel like committing to like really feeling like someone is just only good or someone's only bad. And I really just think that maybe I don't have as high of an IQ as I would like.
But then you stop making decisions on other people's actions and you start choosing and making decisions on friendships based on what suits you and ultimately like what your intuition like guides you towards. That's what I mean. It's more like a spiritual route to take things. Sure, I can look like a bully or look like a mean girl because I don't include everyone in my life, but there's a reason I don't do that. There's a reason I have a guard up. There's a reason why I'm not friends with every person on this planet or every person that's around me. It doesn't mean I cannot get along or be nice to them, but there's just something that I put up between myself and that person because it's inherent, or it just needs to be there because I'm just trusting my intuition gut on that. And ultimately, whether it takes 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, I never look back and I never like, I mean, I do have regrets, but I have very, very few regrets with people just because, I'm not on this planet to make friends with people and be nice and try to get along with everyone. I do try that, but also I'm here to get the most out of life. And if people don't bring anything to me, if I don't benefit on multiple levels from a friendship with someone or from a relationship, what's the point?
Yeah, no.
I could be sitting at home and like just reflecting or painting my nails or putting together IKEA furniture or petting my dog or hanging out with my husband or doing something. I don't need to my life is not a popularity contest. I don't need to try to be friends with everyone. If someone is giving me vibes that do not work with me, that make me nervous, that give me stress, that give me anxiety, why would I pursue a friendship with someone?
Wait, Katie,
for the love of God, explain to me. So not being mean. I'm not withholding friendship with people that from people that don't deserve it.
But I feel that way, and you know that. But I am on like my first or one and a half life. What is that?
Listen to your Maharishi.
What life are you on right now? Do you think you're on?
You asked me this.
I forgot what it was though.
I don't know. I said like 4, 5.
Oh, really? You know? For some reason, I was gonna say something later than that.
I don't know. Just like there's some things that come to life in me like really easy, and I'm not talking about like riding a bike. Or, you know,
I didn't think either.
Learning how to like snowboard or speaking of, it's sort of like those sort of rudimentary fundamental things in life that just help you navigate. I feel like you're a little older
than your fourth or fifth life.
Just, I mean, maybe perhaps. I don't know. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to find out? You know, I hope the one thing I hope when I can die is that I can see everywhere I've been. and just see just like my, like I want like a when graph. You I want pie
once
charts.
Once your your lives are over, you can see everything that you've done.
I want to know if like, if I've been animals, if, like male, female.
Yeah, I mean.
Have I been a royal? That would be dope.
Would be so fucking cool.
Have I ever killed anyone?
That would be so fucking cool. Seriously, two things. Actually, three things I would love to know too. Animal, royal, killed someone.
Maybe in my first life I did, and that's why I am a little bitch and scared to break rules.
See, but that is fascinating.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, you know, each life you're meant to learn something about what's like living. Does that make sense? Is that getting, am I getting too existential?
No.
Like, for your soul, for your spirit to move on, like you have to really know what it's like to live on so many levels and know what's worth living and what you're living for. And that's why I believe in like this so-called reincarnation in multiple lives, is because it's just, it's not for nothing. It's not for nothing. And, you know, as much as like I believe in like a higher power, higher spirit, because I think there's just something beautiful about having faith. And I like, at the same time, I can be romantic and like love like fate and destiny and all that. Yeah. Even though I should probably know better, I just love it. I think that's kind of part of living and just being able to like, you know, experience that sort of spiritual end of things. And like, yeah, if there's something romantic about it, but as much as that, but I also believe in like aliens and extracurricular.
Yeah, I mean,
not extracurricular,
extraterrestrials,
extracurricular life, extraterrestrial.
I saw Alien life. The movie last night again. Well, the most recent one, and that shit made me feel weird.
I don't know.
Wasn't my favorite because I don't like action-packed movies, but like, it still makes you think about what does it mean. When I see alien movies, it makes me feel like our lives are meaningless and we don't have souls, honestly, because I feel like the universe is endless. And so it makes me feel depressed when I think about like, when I watch a movie like Alien.
I don't think we're soulless. I think the more we can...
Or like, not soulless, you're right. No, we no, do.
I think the more we can broaden our like, our spectrum of thinking and awareness in this universe, and even what's beyond that, is more, it's not soulless, it's soulful.
You're right.
Like what's bigger than us. Be more accepting of what's just bigger than you. That's why people, yeah, who don't travel the world, people who stay in a bubble, no offense to anyone that does that, but it's just like you're missing out on so much life and so much things to see. And like, you, like there's nothing like traveling. There's nothing like traveling the world that makes you understand how small,
yes,
we are.
Well, there's nothing more enriching than traveling. When I think about our lives and I'm like, would I give up like having my job and just actually like traveling? And I'm like, if I didn't have to just travel with a backpack, maybe. Like, no, for real. Yeah. I mean, it is the most fun that I could ever have was in Europe with you guys. The most fun I could ever have.
No, it's
insane to like look at another country with loved ones and just be like, holy fuck, like this is so cool that we're experiencing things and we're looking at history and somebody touched this like 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago or 20 years ago. It doesn't even matter. Like if you just think about like what actually happened in the past, it's so fucking cool.
When you stare up at the Notre Dame and you're like, hello.
Holy this shit.
That started
in like 1100, I think.
1100.
I think 1100, yeah.
I don't even remember in the year 1900. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's so vast. And like, you know, you can see North America, you can see all that. But I mean, like, you got to get yourself out there because there's nothing more humbling and more enriching than seeing the world that we live in.
Yeah,
God knows what else is out there. I mean, we already know what else is like sort of even not even relatively close to us. I mean, there's it's an abyss.
What's so, an abyss? Is that like A-B-Y-S-S?
A-B-Y-S-S.
That's what I just said.
An abyss is like
Didn't I say it spelled?
You said
like
A-B-S.
Y-S-S, I think.
I don't know.
Well, in my brain, I was thinking A B Y S S.
An abyss is like it's a indefinite sort of like there's no end to it. It's an infinity,
like the universe.
Yeah,
Dude, you should have seen Alien last night. You'd be on the same page as I was, because I am right now, because I am just all about, like, what the fuck does everything mean? What is everything? Whenever you see an alien movie, you're like, what the fuck does everything mean? Well, and this was like a basic alien movie.
I mean, they're right under our nose. I feel like a Men in Black.
That is the most fun idea of what aliens are ever.
Just take a walk with me. Just walk.
Don't you love Will Smith?
The Men in Black.
I was just trying to think of that.
Galaxy Defender.
Yeah. All right. I get it.
Wait.
Men in Black is listen, Will Smith is my hangover cure. All the time.
Men in Black could cure my hangover, but not Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West more than anything else. I love sleeping. I love, love sleeping. I mean, is there anything more fun than sleeping? I don't even know if eating's as fun. I don't even know if having sex is as fun as sleeping. I just love sleeping as much as I possibly can. But I don't like sleeping if I'm on a really fucking uncomfortable mattress, which is why I've always been obsessed with Casper mattresses because, well, my boyfriend and some of my friends work in the radio industry. And so I've been around Casper mattresses before they even became a sponsor of mine. And they were also my first sponsor. So I have a place in my heart for them. Let me explain to you what Casper mattresses are. Okay. And the reason why they're not so expensive. So basically, they've developed this mattress that is a supportive memory foam. Okay. So it's breathable. It comes rolled up in a box. So it's super easy to mail and all of that shit. And it's just really comfortable and keeps you cool. The reason why they're not so expensive is because you're not going to a mattress store and getting marked up prices. You're going straight to Casper, ordering it online, and they let you do a 100-night home trial. So if you can sleep on it for 3 months, and if you don't like it, you can return it, no problem. And right now, you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Stassi and using my promo code Stassi at the end. So you got to put it twice. And that's Casper, CASPER.com/Stassi, STASSI. And then use my code again at the end to get $50 off your purchase. So if you're thinking, if you're in the market for a mattress, don't go waste your money on the expensive shit that's just marked up. Go get a value at Casper.com. I'm telling you, you have 3 months to sleep on it. Then you can return it for free if you don't like it. It's a win-win situation.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Katie has been telling me to watch Riverdale for 2 months.
I've been like borderline threatening you but to watch it.
She got busy. And I was like, fuck, I can't just commit to Riverdale real fast. I'm already finishing Versailles. I'm doing all these things.
But I knew once you started it, you'd be hooked.
I finished it in 3 days.
I'm same.
3 fucking days. And I was like, that show is what's fucking up.
Not only does it have that sort of like throwback to the childhood, even before us, of the Archie comics.
Yeah, explain real characters. Fast. So you guys, just in case you don't know anything we're talking about, Riverdale is on Netflix, and it's the same.
It on Netflix?
That's where I was watching it. Where were you watching it?
I bought it on Amazon Prime.
Are you serious?
I guess I had $20.
It for free.
$20
on Netflix.
Well spent. But it normally airs on the CW.
That's what I kept reading that because after I would Google it all the time and I'm like, why do they keep saying CW? It's on Netflix for free.
It's a CW show. So if that says anything.
Oh, so it's like Gossip Girl. And it is kind of like Gossip Girl with the way that it's filmed and the characters. But it's the Archie comics. You have Betty, Veronica, Archie.
Jughead.
Blossom. I stalk her. I'm following
Cherry Blossom.
I follow her.
I know. Shout out to Cherry Blossom
because I follow her on Instagram. I stalk her on Instagram.
I follow all of them on Instagram.
I should follow the rest of them, but I have to keep my 666.
But can I talk? Can I say why I started watching?
Yeah. Why did you start watching it?
Because I had become aware, probably because of freaking BuzzFeed again, haunts me in my dreams. I'd become aware, per them, that the Sprouse twins, Cole and Dylan, had grown up And let me tell you how they've grown up.
Is this what you just told me about
Cole
Jughead?
Sprouse plays Jughead.
Wait, but can you explain who the twins are again?
Okay, Cole Sprouse. Okay, the Sprouse twins, you know them from Big Daddy. Okay?
Continue.
You know them from Friends and also from Zach and Cody's Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Yes. So you have to explain that to us that we don't know them. So basically, household names to the rest of us.
Basically, we've been watching them since they were tiny children. So only one of them is
Jughead? That sucks for the other one.
Well, they were only played the same character because there was like a child labor law.
I know, but like, do you think that both of them?
Mary-Kate and Ashley played Michelle because they could
only work. Mary-Kate and Ashley didn't want to be actors anymore. But like, do you think both of them auditioned for Jughead and only one of them got it?
No, because I am a psycho. And when I read this BuzzFeed, it was like, oh, the Sprouse twins have grown up. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember them. And I was like, holy shit. Oh, hello.
You love young boys.
Sasha already told you. Once you say
I turn 30 that I'm gonna like young boys too.
Well, I told you.
I don't mean the word young boys. I guess
they're not young.
You become a cougar. I don't think I will.
First of all, stop making me feel like I'm some like weird.
I like making you feel that way.
Pedophile.
I am never gonna stop.
Student. I should be in jail.
Like you are hooking up with Archie. Sorry. Not to
you. Well, you, first of all, you think Archie in the show is hot.
Archie is attractive.
Okay. Well. Okay. So anyway, when I saw like, oh, the Sprouse twins have grown up, and I was like, dear God, yes, they have. Let me read on, and it talked about what they were doing, gone to college, gone to school. Well, Cole Sprouse.
Katie.
I'm drawing a heart with my fingers. So he plays Jughead. So I had a dream.
Oh, people's dreams.
It might have been. This is how my Justin Bieber obsession began. Is because okay, I randomly had a dream.
Did you have a dream before you saw Riverdale?
No. No, I'm telling you, this is how my obsession with Justin Bieber, because I was like,
I was asking you about your dream with.
I had a dream that was like not super sexual with Justin Bieber, but like it was like kind of like a little like sexually charged.
It was sexually charged,
and I woke up and I was like, and then just from there on out, like my obsession with Justin Bieber grew. So I had read just some random article about how Cole Sprouse is like Babelicious now, and I was like, yep, he is. And woke up one night from a dream that was again sexually charged with me and a 24-year-old and I'm married.
Oh, that's not that old.
No big deal. And I was like, and literally woke up and within 30 minutes was ordering the entire season of Riverdale because I was like, I get that, Katie. I don't know.
I'm not gonna shit on you for this. I'm not gonna make fun of you. When you have a dream about someone, then you're just like, you're intrigued. You're committed.
It's not like I set out there to go try to find the guy and like.
No.
You know, I'm a married woman, but.
No.
I was like, you know what? Like,
I get it.
He is fine.
No, he's not.
He can get it.
No, he's.
Yes, he
no,
can. He
no,
can
no,
get.
Gross.
But,
no.
Saucy. This you're he's not your type.
I know.
This is why if we were ever in our lives to be single together, or maybe in another life,
it would work out so well. I guess in my second life and your fifth or sixth life.
We would never have to fight over anyone except Charlie Hunnam. So
yeah, that's a good point.
So but I will kill you.
Yes, but I brought that up to Patrick because I was like, we should go see King. I don't remember. Oh no.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick was like, I think I'm gonna get my hair cut. And I was like, you're cutting off your man bun? This is a side note. I was like, you're cutting off. No, because I asked him to grow out. I like a man bun when I know someone's not like a metrosexual. So like I liked that, like I contributed to this. And I think Patrick looks really good with a man bun. And he's like, I want to get it cut. I think it's time. Like, I think it's time. I've done it for a really long time.
Nope.
And then he's like, look, Charlie Hunnam, like he like brought this up on the computer and he's like, I don't know. He had a man bun and now he doesn't. And he doesn't look as hot anymore. And I was like, Charlie Hunnam's really hot, so I don't know. And then he's like, you like Charlie Hunnam? I'm like, I like Charlie Hunnam. And I was like, can we go see King Arthur? He's like, it got really bad reviews. I'm like, you're just saying that because I just admitted it got terrible. No. We tried to go see it yesterday and wasn't around anymore.
Okay, but you have to see it. Then wait for it to come out.
Okay, but we tried.
I'm just telling you. No, Tom.
But
when
Charlie
Tom
Hunnam will fight over.
I told you, Tom, when we want to go see movies, he's like, King Arthur. I'm like, wait, King Arthur, remind me. He's like, oh, you know, that boy, the boyfriend, your boyfriend, the guy you really like.
Everyone likes who doesn't like Charlie Hunnam?
I know.
It's a universally attractive male. Like, you True. Can't.
So that will be the only one.
No one could be that, like, eh, he doesn't do it for me. I mean, who could possibly fucking say that?
So that would be the only one that we would like.
Other than that, no. You can go for the children and I'll go for the men.
Sure. Why not? So yeah.
Archie's so much hotter than Jughead.
Like, no, Archie's such a babe and he plays guitar and he sings.
I don't care about that.
Which is weird because that's an alluring aspect of him. But you know what else I like? Because not only did I start watching Riverdale, I read like every interview. They all did. I wanted to hear how they all felt because they're all super young. I'm like, what do they know about Archie and Betty, Veronica, Jughead? Like, what do they know about it?
You really think that they all actually read the comics?
Yes.
I think because, the comics died with us.
Listen, no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I think I was the last part of that generation.
I bought one before. Do you know what's really funny? When I was in Florida with Tom like 3 months ago, I bought one.
Where?
From the supermarket.
They had one there.
Yeah, I have it upstairs in my bedroom or in my little princess.
Okay, but do you really think, I think that they were told to say that.
No. Listen, because this is another thing. Do you know what I like? I think Cole Sprouse has an old soul. He definitely is. And I showed you his like camera duel Instagram account that you thought was super club and hilarious.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I didn't think I watched it yet.
Because he got he started making fun of the fact that, you know, when you go out and like you would see people.
Yes,
like,
wait, no,
low
yes.
Key, first of all, people are never low key about like taking a picture of you. Like you can, it's like you just.
That happened to us at Zara today when I was being a brat.
Okay, well,
the people behind you.
All right. Well, you can just sense it sometimes. So he took it to another level. Well, when he would sense it, he would just like not give a fuck. And he would take his camera out and try to take a picture of the person taking a picture of him before they could. So his Instagram is called Camera Duels.
He is an old soul. Right, and it's also, I could never do that.
But then also his whole thing with his whole take on Jughead was that he really wanted to play his character as like not having a love story, but playing the whole like asexual part of it, because Jughead never had a love story in the comics.
But there's a love story in this season.
I know, but he was adverse to it.
Cause it's not up to him.
I know, but no, but he wanted to stay true to the comics, which I appreciated.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I thought that was interesting because...
Okay, that is an interesting tidbit. I'll give you that.
I thought that was... I could respect that because I was just like, you know what, he's someone who...
So
he studied the comic. He understood that Jughead was sort of like this sort of like not outcast, but like he was sort of like his like
he's
he
the
was,
Dan Humphrey. Except Dan Humphrey is super sexually charged. He has to have sex with everyone.
Well, eventually he did.
Well, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like he wasn't just like just an outcast.
I blame
like
it on Regina.
Which one's Regina? Regina.
Was that her? Not her name.
In Gossip Girl,
yeah. Michelle Trachtenberg, did she not?
Oh, Georgina.
Oh, fucking hell,
Georgina.
Sorry,
Georgina.
Yeah, Freudian because of come on. Regina
but
George.
Dan has Georgina. Has had sex with every single person. Blair, Serena, okay. Georgina, Vanessa.
But, I know, but
maybe
I feel like,
his sister, and we just don't know about
oh,
it.
Oh God. Well, I'm just saying. I don't feel like that happened. Okay. Until after Georgina.
I was just making a comparison between Jughead and Dan Humphrey.
Well, I'm just saying that I appreciated that Cole Sprouse did his fucking due diligence and wanted to like really play into his character. I mean, he wore this beanie because Jughead always wore like this like kind of crown looking hat thing. And he wore a beanie the whole time that looked like a crown. But I just thought he just was fucking awesome.
Okay.
And
so,
I think he's a babe.
Questions. Can we talk about any other person besides... First of all, I want to ask you a quick question.
First of all, who does Archie's hair, that color, is
it's
perfection?
It's same the right with, amount of...
Blossom.
With Blossom, with Cher... Is it... I thought it was Cheryl.
Cheryl Blossom.
Is it Cherry or Cheryl?
Cheryl.
Cheryl? Whatever.
I think it's a play on Cherry, but Cheryl.
Okay. She might be the prettiest person I've ever seen in my entire life. Not only face-wise, but also having the prettiest hair I've ever seen in my entire life.
She reminds me of like... Your mom in some ways.
My mom would really appreciate that.
But she does in some ways.
I started following her on Instagram and I fell into a deep black hole
because
of
she's
stalking
beautiful.
Her. And I'm like, this chick is like a next level pretty. What the fuck? How do people get born like that nowadays? See? That's what I mean. children nowadays, people that are 10 years younger than us, shouldn't allow to be alive. Sorry.
You also like that she like lived that Gotham life. You like that she lived that like gothic life in that house.
Fuck yeah. Anyone who, okay, you guys need to go on Netflix right now, watch Riverdale. You will understand everything, especially if you've read the comics, because you know my uncle DJ, who you met a million times. Mm-hmm. You know the Golden Apple on Melrose? It was like the original.
Oh yes, I know it well.
My brother has worked, I mean my uncle has worked there since before I was born. One and he worked there for 20 years.
I won a costume contest there one time.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I used to go in there as a little kid to visit my uncle, and he'd be like, what do you want? Do you want the Betty and Veronica? And that's mm-hmm. how I knew about comic books, because he would give me the girly Betty and Veronica ones.
Yeah.
So when you said this is a Betty and Veronica TV show, I was like, holy fuck. That is so cool. I didn't even think other people knew about that.
Yes. And you are Betty and I'm Veronica.
I know. It's so annoying. Because mm-hmm. Betty's like not my fave. I love Betty, but no, but I'm not obsessed with Betty.
But Betty has, she's got, you know, when she clenches her fist.
Yeah. I'm not that good at staying calm. I honestly feel like I relate most to the Blossom.
But Veronica, okay, fine. You're more Cheryl Blossom, but like I feel like I'm definitely Veronica.
Well, you're feisty as fuck.
Okay, how do you say her name? Is it Madeline?
No, you are like Veronica also, because you're able to stay mature.
Yeah.
And you're able to be cunning. Yeah. So this is what I'll say. I'm a cross between Betty, because I don't feel like I'm actually an asshole.
No.
And Cheryl.
Yep.
Betty living in Cheryl's house.
So the girl that plays Cheryl Blossom, how do we say, is it Madeline?
I don't know how Madeline to say anyone's names.
Petch?
I don't know. I just follow her on Instagram.
It's not Madeline. It's got to be Madeline. Madeline
looks
Petch.
Like Madeline. Madeline.
Dude, she is so gorgeous. It's unreal. It's not even okay.
And I love how they're all friends and they hang out with each other, like on Instagram.
I know.
It's so awesome. I love seeing that.
Can we come hang out with you guys? But they're all soups young.
Okay, let's figure out.
She's 22 years old.
I don't care. My sister's 22. Let's give a shout out to all these people. Yo, if anyone who is friends with any of these. And Veronica's fucking boss.
And
I feel bad that we're. I feel bad that we're even saying that, like, Cheryl's like so stunning, because all the women are show,
like they all are perfection. Every single one. Camila Mendes, like they're
all of them are so
like,
fucking
I look
pretty.
At them and I'm just like, your eyes sparkle, your skin hair, is perfect. Camila Mendes is giving me brow envy.
Yes, seriously.
So if anyone of you is friends with them,
listen, if anyone knows any of them, tell them,
especially Cole Sprouse. I promise not to. I won't be creepy. I swear to God, I'm married. But like,
she totally will be creepy.
No, I won't. Stop. I can be. I will try. Yeah, I will try to behave myself. I'll try to behave myself.
Okay, for real.
Get at us.
Holla at your girls.
On the gram. On the twit.
My phone number is.
Yeah. Email me. Get me on WhatsApp.
Yeah, whatever you need to do, please. Just someone get in touch with us, because we're obsessed with all of them.
Can we?
And I thank Katie for that.
What if we could do? Okay, you guys, we could do a Q&A straight up a Saucy podcast. We could do it. We could ask them all the questions, and I promise not to like try to like sit on Cole Sprouse's lap.
Thank you for giving me
for
that
more
idea.
Than 5 seconds.
This is what I and you know what? No, we're gonna do one on ones, and you'll just be there with me. So we'll
because you have to babysit me.
No, I'm just saying because I need to look profesh. Okay. I need to look profesh to my Khaleesi's okay. Into so I'll let you. You can be a co-host, but it has to be one guest at a time. So we can start with whoever bites.
Okay,
whoever bites first.
Riverdale folks,
please, we're desperate for you.
Please, just because I don't think there's a day in my life that goes by that I don't think about a particular moment. I want to go to Pops. I want a milkshake as well. I wish we were at Pops right now having milkshakes and burgers.
I want to live in a haunted house like the Blossoms.
Well, it wasn't haunted. You just want a graveyard.
Well, it looks like, but it looks like a haunted house. Well, I mean, it couldn't look more haunted.
I just kind of want like Cole Sprouse, like hollering
no,
at me.
Sorry. Shout out to Betty's mom who was on Gossip Girl.
Yes.
goals.
She was
goals. Okay.
Shout out to Luke Perry for.
Oh, like, shout out to him. Honestly, you know what? I'd rather he's. Dude, he's the heartthrob in the whole thing.
He should get at this shit too.
More so than Archie.
All of them and any of them.
Okay, we'll take what we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been an extra? We'll take you.
Anyone.
All right. Love you guys. Love you, Khaleesi's. Follow Katie on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat at Music Kills Kate.
Buy me a drink.
Bye. I'll take a home in me.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.